Okay, it is 6:01 p.m. I will call the meeting to order. Let's start with Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic.
Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, I should have given you time to stand up.
That's right. The flag also moved on us. I'm used to it being behind me.
Yes. Speaking of moving, there's turf on the fields. I saw that when I was picking up my kids. That was pretty exciting. It's good stuff. Okay, is Val on? I don't see Val. Does anyone? I'm going to refresh my inbox. I don't think we have public comments unless anyone else is aware of any. I'm not seeing any. If anyone on the line wants to make a comment, raise your hand. We'll give it, I don't know, 15 seconds or so, but I think it's mostly board members and staff online right now. Actually, it's all board members and staff. So, okay, we will keep going. All right, we can go through the minutes. Joel, you have a nice slate for us.
Excellent. Yeah. So I sent out minutes. We had some outstanding minutes from meetings through August, including two special meetings, as well as the minutes from September 30th. Those have been distributed. Feedback has been given. Updates and revisions have been made. So I move we approve the minutes as presented and discussed.
Do we have a second or any
We
discussion?
do one at a time. Are we going to do them all together?
Well, if there are no, I guess let's have a discussion. Does anyone have any questions or issues? And if not, maybe Joel, you just list off the dates and then we can do one motion. But are there any changes to any of the drafts that Joel sent around? I think we all sent
The
our corrections.
Yep, there were some corrections that were sent via email. We were all copied on.
Good.
Those corrections have been made up to the last request, Aaron, that I believe I saw your email that you agreed to. So those will be made and given to Andriana to get loaded up onto the site if they're approved. And the dates for these minutes would be August 12th, August 21st, August 29th, and September 30th.
So, Joel, your motion is that we approve those minutes, including the edits that we sort of went through via email. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. We have a second?
I second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
I'm going to abstain. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Abstain.
Thank you, Helen. So one abstention, and I think the rest were all approvals. Thank you. Thanks, Joel, for doing that.
Course.
Okay, head of school report, and it's over to you.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Head of schools report is a little bit lengthy this time, and there are some new priorities on there, so we'll cover them. I'll cover them as expeditiously as I can. So, main priorities, project updates and approvals. Priority two is the intervention systems that we are putting in place, goal setting for the classes, leadership walkthroughs, and leader development. Priority three is planning for the 2025 school year enrollment, open houses, recruiting, step-up days, data analysis from 2024 trends and new adjustments for that. And then we also have culture focuses for the end of quarter celebrations that focus on the three pillars in Philotimo. So a lot going on in the school. One of the things that we talked about first is from the project updates. Number one, as you saw, there's turf down now, and that's fantastic for the specific components that we're doing. So the turf is down, the lights are up, bleachers are up, grandstand is up. So there's a lot of progress, and it looks like we're within 4 weeks of completion of the project, which is fantastic. The playground at the intermediate school is complete now with markings for football, and I know the kids are going to be really, really excited about that. There's an owl in the middle of it, and we're doing some finishing touches on it. But I'd like to shout out Mr. Lotteman for helping us out with that. We appreciate him doing that. The cafeteria project's moving along nicely and should be completed by the next board meeting, which will allow us to reuse the Building 20 cafeteria, which hasn't been in use since it's been being remodeled. Building 27 continues to develop, with the budgets and the designs being finalized for the construction. The goal is to have the building ready for operation in late August of 2025. The plans currently indicate at least 29 new classroom spaces, dozens of offices, multi-purpose rooms, and more. The project details will be finalized in the coming months, with the goal to begin construction in early spring of 2025. So, in terms of those goals, everything looks really good, and we're progressing quite well towards them.
Hey, Elias, real quick, and I'm sorry if you said this because I was also reading. I know for the turf field, we had a committee that had sort of a cohort of stakeholders. Do we have, or are we forming the same committee for Building 27?
Yes, same format, same committee. It wouldn't be the same necessary in individuals, but it's the same format, same style.
Okay. And if people are interested, when should they be kind of on the lookout for emails on how to join and things like that?
This is going to be formulated pretty soon. So, Jeff, would you say in the next month for sure?
Yeah, I think part of that coincides with what we're looking for approval for tonight for the layout of the design and kind of moving forward from there. So yeah, probably within the next 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff. The goal two, which is interventions, win time groups, goal setting in classes, leadership walkthroughs, and leader development. We have a lot of new developments in this area, and obviously, as we get a little bit better at anticipating the things that are coming to us, we're also building capacity for us to be able to respond in real time to the unique needs of the school on a year in and year out basis. One of the areas where we like to contextualize these things is remind everybody that until September 30th, it's extraordinarily challenging for us to know exactly what supports need to be put in place and how we need to put those supports in place, because we don't know what kids are in what support systems and stuff like that. So there's a lot of buckets that go into that, but nonetheless, we're in a position now to actually talk about those things. So after the September 30th count, let's first look at some of the important components of this that have to do with intervention programs. So we're moving towards the target intervention support programs. The WIN groups is something that you may have heard about. We do these things called WIN times, which is a targeted intervention system, and you cohort the kids based on their needs. And their academic goals, so that we're targeting the skill sets that are necessary for them to succeed not only in their courses but also on standardized testing as we move into the testing season in the spring. The school administrative teams are also reviewing the schedules, the transition plans, current class numbers to make adjustments needed to support the students' needs. This does include the reassigning of students to create more balanced classrooms and leverage supports. The potential opening of new cohorts, which I'll talk about a little bit later, to try to reduce class sizes where there could be higher needs, especially when you are implementing a matrix. One of the key components that we have to understand is that if you have students that are potentially returning to you, but they haven't returned to you, and you're holding their seat, and then you are trying to backfill for that, you don't exactly know where you're going to land on some of these things and what needs and extra supports they're going to need when they come to you. So, and as a result of that, when you input them into the matrix and they come with their unique needs, they may have to go into a cohort or a class at a specific time when that need can be met, which then impacts what other classes they have and then can create unbalanced class sizes. So there are some extra challenges that are involved in that that we've had to address. This year, we've had to address it last year, but this year we're really looking into making sure that by the beginning of our first mark, by the end of our first marking period, we'd have all of the interventions in place for them to be successful moving forward. Part of this is also our leadership walkthroughs, which begin this month. And that's again an opportunity where the admin teams will review the entire student experience from the second they get off of a bus to their entire transition schedule. What does their recess look like? What does food look like for them? What does the classroom experience feel like? What is the classroom culture? And then what we do is we split up and we see the entire program, and then we put together a list of recommendations. And then from there, we create a small committee that goes back and ensures that the recommendations that we put forth have been implemented to create a better classroom environment for our kids. It's also an opportunity for everybody who's on our leadership team to get exposed to the entire process instead of the silo that we necessarily work in, which creates more capacity for all of our leadership. Our schools also have all the high-stakes testing goals for their programs in place. And as the schools implement the intervention programs, the goals created will drive the goals for intervention, which we talked about, so the students can find success in their courses and on those exams. In addition to that, Odyssey this year, in service of Goal 2, has introduced a new professional development opportunity for emerging leaders and staff who would like to take on more leadership in the coming years. This seminar, it's a series long, it's a year-long project, which begins with a lecture series where each of the managers that lead the specialized programs that we have in departments, whether it's food service or facilities or an academic component or transportation, and they get to hear the whole minutia of how the whole entire organization functions. The purpose of doing that first is to create enough contextualization so that when we break them up into their groups to create a problem that they would like to solve for the school or an enhancement that they want to provide to the school, they have enough contextualization of the entire scope of what this looks like to be able to put together a project that can be effective immediately and can be implemented expeditiously. So those projects will begin for implementation in semester two. The series that they're going through right now, the lecture series, will begin in the next couple of weeks. Our first cohort of this actually includes staff members from all the paths that we have in the school. It is not just academics. There's people from all the paths that are in here. So we're really excited about that. And it includes about 25 members for our first cohort. So we're excited to have to build that capacity for you know our future leaders, and to you know to be very intentional about succession plans, organizationally speaking. And this is a good stepping stone for that. For goal three, which is planning for the 2025-26 enrollment year, I know it sounds bizarre to be talking about that, but as soon as the September 30th count ends, we have to start planning for the following year and the enrollment of the school for the following year. In our analysis, one of the things that we found out is that number one, we hit about 97.5% of our target, which is a good number. It's a pretty good number. It's not our best number, but it's within the range of what we wanted. That being said, there's always going to be takeaways and analysis that when we review the data, we can find ways to be a lot better every single year. So we compared our data and put it together and reviewed it from this year to previous years to look for trends within the system. This year we ended our enrollment count with 2,286 students enrolled. We've also always spoken to a number of about 2,300, but it was actually a little bit higher. We fell again, we hit 97.5% of that target. So overall, it's a strong number, but we have found some new trends moving forward. One of the things that created a struggle for this particular year is that returning families did not execute their full enrollment process until a lot later in the season. And what happens, the impact of that is that if you're holding a seat for somebody and then they end up not showing up at the end, then you're waiting a lot longer to execute the backfill from the wait lists. And then the real wait lists become untrue wait lists. And you're also not necessarily getting the ones that really were wanting to be there the most because you're going down and down and down your wait list. So we do have a proposal for how we're going to address that for the coming years, but I did want to provide some context on how that really magnifies the problem. So one of the things we're looking at is making sure that we do our best to have the re-enrollment process kind of done before everybody leaves in the way that we can in a legal manner. Because again, you kind of got to start on July 1st, and that's already the middle of the summer. But there are ways for us to try to engage our returning families in such a way that we would have a more reliable estimate of what impact that would have in August and September. And so part of that is also to report back on what was the actual numbers. And specifically for September, we can say that overall, 25 students throughout the entire, for example, throughout the entire middle school, 25 students were the ones that did not re-enroll in September, and we backfilled that with 20 students. The actual need, for example, though, in that particular school, we were about 40 seats away from our targeted number, and so we landed about 20 seats below where we had anticipated to land from a budget perspective. Overall, though, with that being the case, the impact that September had on the overall program was a 3% impact. So that means that we were at 97% of our actual enrollment before September 1st. And 3% of the enrollment was impacted in the month of September. In the lower school, the kinder applications have remained at the same volume to previous years, but in order for us to have the sustainable cohorts that we're looking for, and there being actually a lesser amount of total kindergartners, we have to improve our system in order for us to be able to recruit more students. So our approach this year is going to be focusing on specifics of how we can do that, how we get into preschools and get in front of people and sponsor specific events, mommy and me classes, stuff like that, to recruit properly. The high school and the intermediate school remained relatively on schedule as predicted, and a continued focus will remain on providing an enriched and rigorous offering aimed at retaining our eighth graders as they rise to ninth grade. Some of the enhancements that I was speaking of, this year we changed the way we're doing open house to make it more appealing to both our returning families but also new families. And part of that was to make sure that that it didn't look like a traditional open house. It looks more like an opportunity to gain something and grab something and get something out of this, whether it's parent education components or whether it's specific skills that you get to learn. We have cooking lessons that day set up. We have an anti-bullying seminar that day with parenting tips in there. And in our marketing, you would see that. So the parents are coming home with something that's more tangible than just like, well, here's the classroom where they are, and here's the syllabus, and here's, what we do and where classes and yada, yada, yada. We've also looking at creating new marketing pathways, like we talked about previously, community opportunities for advertising, recruitment, and exposure that should help us achieve our goals. The intentional days that we have, like preview day and step-up days, have proven to be effective, and we will continue them and expand them some more. Now step-up days are being utilized for this year for the intermediate school as well, so that we can help push our retention rates as you transition from one program to the other. Goal four, the end of quarter celebration. So part of really shifting the culture of the school is to make sure that we are highlighting the things that we would like to see our students doing and the things that serve the mission and vision of the school that the kids are already doing. So, in service of this, we've created a more intentional approach to highlighting the character traits and accomplishments of the students. So, we've implemented end of quarter awards for that will award academic growth, academic excellence, cultural excellence, and also cultural competency growth. So, at the end of each quarter, every school is doing these different celebrations. You may see field trips from these in certain buildings. You may see other reward and incentive programs, to make sure that we're highlighting the three pillars in Filotimo, and what we'd like to see in building a critical mass of individuals who are on board with continuing to improve themselves, which is part of our mantra. So as part of the ongoing effort to bring joy and enhance the positive culture of the students' experience, each program is planning their specific things for those things, for those components. The first one again will be at the end of Q1. which is a very important transition point for us. And it's coming up pretty soon. So you'll see a lot of those celebrations at the beginning of November or so. Important for us to know. The celebrations for the three pillars in the Philotimo will not just be implemented as part of the students' cultural focus, but also for the adult culture as well. In our departments, we will award quarterly Philotimo awards and three pillar awards to staff. Again, the school would like to be more intentional about highlighting and modeling the practices that lead to greater success. So those are all in service of those particular cultural goals. Okay, I'm going to stop talking so you can hear a different voice for a few moments, and then I'll circle back when we get to after the four building updates to updates about what the CIA is up to, what transportation, special student services are up to, so on and so forth. So I'm going to turn it over to the team. Do I have somebody from lower school and intermediate school to present?
Doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look like it. So it's me. You got it.
It's
You're going to keep hearing me. All right. So the lower school teachers spent September and the beginning of October focusing on building relationships with students, communities, and families. The first month of the and a half of the school saw about four face-to-face touch points with families and administrative feedback on setting up restorative classrooms that are making learning more accessible to the learners. The enrollment finalized obviously on the 30th of September, and we began the DIBELS process. And the iReady process so that we can get the data, the pre-assessment data that we need to create high goals that are efficient and are appropriate to maximize student growth. The state-sanctioned DTGSS goal setting is also a focus that we've been working on and meeting our deadlines to make sure that we have teachers analyzing their data consistently. That guides their intervention processes and helps innovate what we're doing for our students. They're also preparing more touch points for families. We just talked about the open house from 5 to 7. It's tomorrow. And current prospective students and families are welcome to join this. They have hands-on demonstrations of the Greek program, the Fall Festival Olympic Games, anti-bullying workshops with role-playing and scenarios, a read aloud by our own teacher and co-author. Those are all kinds of the kinds of things that we're going to see in the open house this year, which are quite unique from where we were in the past. From the intermediate school, iReady and WinTime, the intermediate school has completed their iReady testing, so they have baseline data on the academic needs and forming the intervention groups. This week, they begin the WinTime. It's the 40-minute intervention block to support the learning needs of the kids. And this year's schedule supports more staff and more time supporting students with interventions. We also are doing the TAG testing right now, which is for the gifted and talented students, and the eligibility will be shared out this week. And with DTGSS goals, again, those are our state metric goals. That's being conducted right now with the staff, where they're setting up professional goals and student improvement goals. And where the focus for the intermediate school is 3.3, having to do with academic language and vocabulary in the classroom. From after school programming, drama club, crafting, fourth grade girls club, kangaroo math club, and Greek chorus are all launching. And the first PBIS celebrations will be on 11/4. I think that's there's a misprint on here. We'll be on 11/4. In the do we have middle school represented?
Think you're him.
I'm middle school representative as well. All right, so one stop shop here. Middle school team has completed both the iReady testing as well, and they've been analyzing the data to make sure that the targeted groups are correct again. As you can see across the board, we're looking at the same exact mission and vision for this time of year. The win time is it wasn't applicable in the initial schedule of the staff, but it's now in October going to be implemented specifically by the beginning of the second marking period. And what it'll be in the classroom, in the subject, and they'll be hitting one subject content area per day for that reinforcement and win time, which allows for the teachers to be able to use to create those groups again. It allows special education to pool their resources and do the proper pullouts for them. And it allows us to target the interventions according to proficiency levels of the students, which we can then push specific skill sets for those students and help them maximize their growth and attendance, their growth in academics. The middle school also is having a bonfire on the 22nd of November and a pep rally to celebrate the end of the first marking period. So they'll be highlighting that as well, and their TEMO awards. So between the middle school, I'm sorry, between the different programs, they pick either Philo or TEMO for the Philotimo, and the acronym stands for one of the pillars that they have in their particular building. And these are the awards that they're celebrating that we referred to earlier. There are academic and positive reward trips that are scheduled as well for the middle school. They have the Ramsey Farms field trip for culinary arts. They have the sushi rolling workshop for culinary arts, the PBIS movie field trip, which is a positive behavior reward, the Lincoln Financial field trip for business operations and culture building, and the Christiana skating trip for positive behavior and STEM. So as you can see, there's definitely evidence of specific implementation of the positive behavior management system that we're looking for this year. I'm going to turn it over to the high school. I see Ashley's on board, and I can rest my voice for 5 seconds.
Hi everyone. Don't mind the baby in the background. So the high school has been running at full speed this year. We've added a lot of new activities. Are you serious? And greatly expanded our PBIS programming with the addition of Dean's List. We got a lot of field trips already and have additional field trips coming up soon, including our first PBIS trip, which is next week to Christiana Skating Rink for our students. Next week is also our homecoming week. Our pep rally will be on, it's very loud in this house, on Friday, 10:25. And our homecoming dance is at the Grail on 10:26. And then in terms of academic updates, we are finding a lot of increased success this year with the implementation of our PSAT and SAT prep program Methodize, and additional support in all of our math and ELA courses for SAT and PSAT prep. Our class of 2025 has already been hard at work with their college applications and Launch Into Your Future Week, which is a Delaware DOE initiative, was completed last week. All of our students are currently on track to complete their applications or already have completed their applications for their colleges. In terms of recruitment and retention, we are excited to welcome our families this week for our open house tomorrow. And we really encourage anybody who is seventh and eighth graders to come and see the programming and spaces. Seventh and eighth grade is a obviously everybody when they're in eighth grade wants to come look, but it's really important to even come look in seventh grade so you can get a really good idea of what you're looking for. So even when you are seeing other schools, or if you choose to look at other schools, you have a good baseline of what's happening at Odyssey, and you can know how to compare programming. We're also completing several exciting projects like the athletics complex, the annex, portfolio programming, and CTE and workforce development programming to enhance everything at the high school level and position ourselves as a premier and unique option for high school. Any questions for the high school?
Ashley, this is Costas.
Hello.
Any idea what the majority of the majors the high school graduates apply is science, English, whatever? Just I'm very curious.
So we've had quite a variety. We do usually have a number of students that major in computer science and engineering. We have a pretty strong computer science program at the school, and then we have our biggest other programming that we have at the high school in terms of CTE programming is our biomedical science. So we have a lot of students that are interested in potential healthcare careers. So we see a lot of nursing majors, a lot of computer science majors, and just generally STEM. But we also do see a number of students who major in the humanities.
One second question, if you allow me. Just has anybody just updated or informed the students for the professional, let's say, the future in the engineering, science, whatever it is? Because it's very important. Some of them, they try to go to college because they go to college, but must be some kind of information, and somebody says, okay, this is the what you may find out as you're graduating, all these kinds of things. And to give you an example, the IA, it was very hot subject years ago, was a chemical engineering. I'm an engineer. All of a sudden, things have to start changing, and it's different. That's why I'm saying that. I don't say that they're not should apply, but I believe. If there is not anything, I have no idea, okay? Must be some kind of information from some kind of from people that they have experience in fields, various fields. That's all.
Yeah, so we have a, find a lot of students are interested in kind of careers of the future. We've had a lot of students who are interested in potentially working in AI, and I know some of them have even worked with Mr. Pappas to kind of refine some of their ideas and talk about entrepreneurship. But with our business pathways and our computer science pathways, they can kind of get their feet wet in it, whereas they're getting a little bit of it in high school, and then they can really kind of find where they want to end up when they're either in school or doing other programming afterward.
Yes, I perfectly understand you, and I think, but anyways, it's okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, so we will move on to the CIA part. Thank you, Ashley. So, from the CIA perspective, CIA again is curriculum instruction. Team. And so the teachers in grades 3 to 8 are receiving professional development with the new teacher center during the month of October to help focus on interim assessment blocks in ELA and math. So the interim assessments, IABs, are part of a diagnostic tool that we use that aligns specifically with SBAC to help have better diagnostic information on how we can support students in achieving their goals in the spring. From an instruction component, the senior leadership team is starting monthly walkthroughs that we've mentioned before. The academic leadership team is starting their DTGSS observations this week. Principals, assistant principals, and members from the CIA are visiting 3 to 5 classrooms and collaboratively writing down their observations. And the collaborative approach is going to help us align our feedback and procedures. In addition to that, from assessment lens, our district testing administrator is currently the interim middle school principal. So as part of that component, we're kind of patching and piecemealing this together. I know Amanda Lighting from the high school, we appreciate her support in helping us get through PSAT testing and some of the stuff for October deadlines for the high school. Dibbles testing, like we said, is already being completed, and OCS is working with the new teacher center to deliver meaningful feedback for their students, which is fantastic. I'm going to skip the financial update right now. From a transportation perspective, we're continuing to hire drivers and aides so that we can make sure that we're fully staffed throughout the year and that we have enough redundancy built in the system for us to be able to sustain. We're also looking for purchasing 2 passenger vans that will be exclusively used by the athletics department to help run their routes. From a special education lens, there's a lot of things that we're doing. The theme at the beginning of the year for special education is what we like to say, adapt and adjust. So during this complex process, you have a lot of layers that you have to consider. And the Spec Ed department has been in collaboration with human resources, number one, to help support any openings within student services, which whatever openings exist are actually being filled by certificated staff. But there's also a PD and sustainability component to this. So the special education team on just yesterday, they went down to the professional development and at the University of Delaware.
They came here.
Oh, I'm sorry. They came to us. Got it. And they've completed phase one of this 6-phase capacity building component that helps support K-12 staff with students with disabilities. And now one of the bigger pieces for special education, obviously, is what happens with the unit count. And the unit count closes on September 30th, as many of us know. And so the EDs in each school then review the final numbers and start reorganizing the schedules to support all of the students. This year, all. Pardon me, guys. I'm sorry. I'm on a board meeting call. I'm really sorry. Sorry about that. So, part of the process is to make sure that we have the exact numbers that we need and that we can start to implement some of the interventions that we want to provide the supports in the areas that they need. This year, all students are participating in the WIN period, and there's additional supports that are embedded in the classroom. And so Spec Ed teachers will be scheduled at specific times for pullouts during the day so that kids can receive direct instruction. Overall, our spec ed population this year is consistent with other schools at a rate of 13.5%. Overall, we've had an increase of 1% from last year. This translates to an average of 5 students per building or 1.5 students per grade level. That is the total impact of special education from this year to last year. As of 10-1, Student Services has begun their official counts, and due to some of the registering at the beginning of the years at different times and various changes throughout the count, schedules have been made and remade several times, and I'd like to shout out the EDs for doing that, because it's a lot of work to continue to redoing the schedules and redoing the what we're trying to support, because the because of what's happening and how versatile we have to be in the first months, which is why we have that theme of adapting. For some of our more challenging students, whether they were identified or not, the team met with administrators and staff to understand the needs, came up with plans for them, as well as specific things in the discussions with parents. In lower school and intermediate school, EDs have reviewed the student schedules to identify the times within the day where they can receive additional services and who would be willing to support that. For example, there are some students at the lower school with IEPs who are really struggling with self-regulation and expressing their feelings. So once we've identified those students and their schedules are set, we are looking to have a self-coping group developed with the behavioral interventionist, which will help to support these kids long-term. We're also looking at how to replicate this in the other programs in the school as well. The addition of for example, in the middle school, we have the addition of the restoration room, which is approaching completion, and that'll come up later in this document as well. The physical space is approaching completion, which is an opportunity for and a space provided for us to provide the support services that we're looking for, whether it be behavioral or academic. New students with complex and intense needs, once they're identified, and we have some data on them, they're identifying deltas. Our teams have been convening right away to figure out ways to support them within the school, and then discuss plans of support that are more longer term. And many of these complex cases, the main factor contributing to some of their maladaptive, shall we say, behaviors have to do with a change in environment. And a lot of them are used to having consistency and seeing things one way. So when you disrupt the physical environment and you disrupt the persons in the room, there is an arc that will see a lot of manifestations come out initially, and then things start to taper off, which is a phenomenon that we are seeing with some of the students where interventions are already working, and with other students that they still aren't working in any different kinds of interventions in order for us to be able to support them properly. For the students who not identified with high behavioral needs, the EDs were made aware of this, and the spec ed team observed and worked with the teachers to support the transitions into the schools. 3 new students were sent PTEs to evaluate, and the meetings were held before the unit count whenever possible. As the needs arise, the behavior interventionists and the behavioral paras have been supporting in the data collection, as well as modeling and working with staff to create strategies that will help support them. For students that are identified with the behavioral needs, especially FBA and BIP, this team has been observing, collecting data to determine if the supports outlined in the BIP are actually working in the schools, and then what we can do about it thereafter. There's also an infinite campus component to this as well, where we're one of the pilot schools for Infinite Campus. And so all our students who were previously with us in their IEPs have transferred over from the old system to the new system, and all the correct data has been kind of backfilled and put into place. Incoming student files have been coming in through the email or paper files, but obviously not at the pace that we'd like to see, which does make it a little bit more challenging for us to be able to provide the services that we know worked previously, or at least we could try to start off with. For all other students with IEPs, the administration plans per DOE manually re-entering some of these components in order to be able to meet their needs. So those are some of the things that are in special education. I think I should pause there and ask if there are specific questions about that.
For the number of students increased per grade, I think you said 1.5 per grade. Is that Presumably that's in an average. What's the highest number of net new students? Like, what's the highest grade with the, or what's the grade with the biggest impact, and what is that impact?
I don't have that immediate data in front of me right now. I looked at all the data from a district level. It's my understanding that there may be a couple more students in any of the major entry points. I'm sure if I had to look at it, I'd see a little bit more impact on ninth grade, on sixth grade. And I know there was a little bit of an increase in students that were more complex. And that obviously is going to have an impact because those students come in with complex needs. And so managing those needs are different. I don't know if Dr. DiMeo has anything else to provide with that.
Yeah, I'm pulling up something right now, but we did get an influx in our seventh grade. So we did see more students than we have in the past come in our seventh grade classes.
I guess it'd
For
be,
sure.
and we don't need to write this second, but I think it'd be helpful to get that on a per grade basis, and also the timing, like how many, let's say that there were several that came in at one grade level, how many was I don't know what the right cutoff is, like pre-September 1 versus September 1 to the 30th. It would just help us, I think, better understand kind of what's happening in the school in that first month.
I think we had a, so this year was a little tricky just in general. We tried to run as much as we could before our system went down and we went into the new system. So we requested as many IEPs and pre-registrations that we could find. Once the system went down, we actually were running like Delsis, running lists every week and looking up every single kid in Delsis to make sure we weren't missing anyone. We do have cases sometimes where, especially because our systems don't talk to the other systems yet, we have students who've come in and we had no clue. Families had not shared they had an IEP, or it had not been disclosed yet. So we did have a few cases of that. I'm looking. So we did get a few trickle in after the start of the year. We did get some that came in towards the 30th count. Unfortunately, some of the ones that did come in had some more intensive and complex needs when they came in. When we found out about them, we kind of came back together, brainstormed to try to figure out how to support them. That's why schedules have been kind of rearranged to kind of support the students that were coming in. It's not many students with high intense needs, but the ones that did come in, they did have some complex needs that we had to identify, talk to the parents, try to figure out where they were coming from and how to assimilate them into this new environment.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And it's got to be hard when you don't have the kind of ahead of time data. I assume, are you guys going to do a retro and look at, because we're going to have this every year, right? And so are you going to do a retro in your department, Stefan, like what you saw and how much, and sort of while things are fresh in your mind, map out how you want to, like what you want to amend for next year?
We have already started.
Awesome.
So I think we're also kind of figuring out how to better collaborate too with the buildings to figure out like how do we plan some of our cohorts in the buildings to be less so that when we do it, if we do anticipate students coming in with needs, that we have classes that are not as have as many kids in them. We are looking at how we can do schedules next year, how we can look at staffing. So there's definitely been a lot of reflection on how we can better support this transition. I do think being on the same platform as everyone else in Infinite Campus is going to help so much because it was kind of like who do you know in the district to email and get the information. Luckily, we knew enough people that we could override our unit count system to get them in even before we actually had the IEPs.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Does anyone else have questions from the
Yeah,
board?
I have a question. Can we access the IEPs in the Infinite Campus now?
So you should be able to go in and see the PDF of it. You're not going to be able to access an active one. So what happened was, is when the state carried over all the information, it came into a PDF. So it didn't show up as an active IEP. So Miss Boy and myself, son and myself, need to sit down because we need to do this for the December 1st count so we can get all of the pieces counted for our federal counting. We actually have to sit down and rewrite every single IEP that is not in the system, that or did not go to a 60-day. We actually have to rewrite them into the new system. Once that happens, you should be able to have like a little piece on this on the top there, just like a 504, and click it and it should show up. It's not showing up yet. You do have access to go in and see all the PDFs, but once we are able to transfer that information manually into the system, then they should become available to everyone.
Yeah, on my Infinite Campus, I see that the student has an IEP, but I cannot
Yeah.
open it. But in
It's
the
because
meanwhile,
it's not active in the system because it's in a PDF form. So for in order to be at, so everything transferred into PDF. It didn't transfer into like a blank template. So based off our last director's meeting, they told us that we literally have to manually put every single student back in to the template. So that once it's finalized, it will upload. You'll be able to see it. So you'll see their spec ed and be able to click and see the IEP. Unfortunately, the state did not necessarily think about the unintended consequences of the transfer and where all the information was coming from and how that would look from the old system to the new system. So we are course
and perhaps
correcting.
until we resolve that, we can at least get snapshots of the IPs
So.
for.
So we're working on that. Our EDs have been really busy trying to figure out rearranging schedules with the new students coming in. I would suggest for any teachers who do have questions to go to the case manager of the student. We are working on getting the snapshots out in the meantime, but just know that our EDs have been slammed between trying to get our 30, like our meetings in for the 30th day, and then trying to reorganize all of the schedules to support the needs of our students.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just wondering. So, what is our ETA on getting these out? Or so, am I just so I'm clear? We're saying that there's some that have not come over, and we don't have hard copies either, or do we have hard copies that can at least be distributed to their teachers?
So we do have hard copies, the EDs have them, but the EDs have been so focused on making sure that all of the things are coming in correctly, as well as reworking schedules to meet the needs of our students. So we are going to get them out as soon as we can. But once again, I suggest if there are questions, I would strongly recommend that the teachers go to the case managers and have that discussion. We actually talked about in SLT today that, try to arrange time for collaboration for our teachers and spec ed teachers to talk and discuss the needs of the student as well as have that visual.
Is there not a way we can ask secretaries to make copies to make sure that educators have them? I mean, everybody's swamped, I get that, but the students and their needs should be known to every educator that teaches them.
So many of our teachers have given, many of our EDs have given out the actual IEPs. So there are many teachers who have the IEPs if we have them. Our kids who came in the 28th, we may not have the IEPs. We're trying to get them from the buildings as quickly as possible. Some are more responsive than others. We are trying our best. We have almost 400 kids, and we're trying to disseminate as much information. It is accessible on Infinite Campus, but you have to go in through the PDF piece to see it. And I'm more than happy to show anyone who needs to see that how to do that.
Okay.
Can I ask one question? Sorry, I have a separate question. With the people that we have in terms of like the resources and everything, like after the September 30th, and we're given the finances based on that, are all of their schedules full, like in terms of students that they're meeting with?
Yes. So we are literally at full capacity based on our unit count. So we're actually over capacity at the lower school by 0.5 units, but they do have schedules. They should be following them. If they are not, then please let your administration
No,
know. And
that's not my concern.
oh,
My
okay.
concern was for students who are then identified throughout the year, I guess, what is the plan for providing, like, are they going to have to be pooled and share, spec ed support? Like, how would that work?
That's exactly it. Unfortunately, we do have another unit count that's in February, but we don't usually yield a lot of units from that count. Unfortunately, they do it on the 30th, and that's our funding for the year. And we also are not, we don't get our, we don't get like what the districts get, where they get tuition tax, where it's for their intents and complex to use for kind of those situations. We don't have that as a charter. No charter zone. We're actually fighting with the districts to try to get some of that money back. But as students do get identified, we do look at how we can pull or support throughout the year. We are hoping with some of these structures in place through MTSS, there will be less students being identified because the tiered supports will be stronger and be able to teach them the skills needed so they don't need that specially designed instruction.
Bridget, I also want to chime in here. Because I have been intimately involved in the process with some specific cases, and one that I even was out in the playground with you about, I do want to let you know that is Dr. DeMeo speaking to the general rule of thumb on how we approach this. That does not mean that there aren't specific situations that we have to take actions that are beyond the budgetary and unit count restrictions. And I will tell that in a public forum, in an open forum, and wherever anybody wants to hear it. If we have a situation that we need to provide more support, we are going to support the kids. We'll find a way.
Okay, thank you.
I want to move to multiple language learners. Our percentage rate from this year moved from 16% to 19%. That said, over the last 3 years, if you had a chance to look in the charter renewal report, you would see that we every year in the last 3 years we've increased almost linearly our success rate with the conversion, despite the fact that our number of students identified is increasing at the same rate. So the concern about multiple language doesn't seem to be as much of a concern because our to the credit of our department here, they're actually seeing linearly improving results while we linearly increase the amount of students, which means that we're becoming better at supporting these particular students. The MTSS process we've kind of spoken to a lot so far, and making sure that we have these targeted intervention components in place that are going to help, but it's also looking at the tier two and tier three interventions. That are outlined by the state regulations, but trying to make sure that we really strengthen our tier one supports, which is the universal practices piece, so that we don't have to necessarily move students to tier two and tier three. And a lot of that has to do with some of the supports that we have in place for social emotional instruction, where we're providing specific supports for that. And again, the win time in these targeted intervention times that allow for us to be able to process some of that and see the needle move a little bit. With respect to IT, the 10 gigabyte fiber project is about 80% complete. The fiber is pulled and in use in all active buildings. The fiber for the field in Building 27 is still waiting to be installed with an expected completion in November. They're working on the IT requirements for the athletic fields right now, which include camera, Wi-Fi, and sound systems. And as you can see, with the athletics field moving as quickly as it is right now, it seems like we're in a good place to be able to do that as well. From a human resources lens, the top priority right now with the human resources is to make sure that we secure a middle school principal. The hiring is on track with the goal of making an offer before the end of October. Candidate responses were due today, and they were turned in. And the first round of interviews are taking place close of business on the 18th, with the second round the week of 10/21. So that should help make sure that we have that position secured once and for all. And then the Filipino Fellowship OCS induction program is also in full swing right now, which is an addition to what the state programs are, to allow for our teachers to get even more support on what it is to be an Odyssey teacher. A new high school teacher is starting, a science teacher, on the 21st, with one more still required. We have another one that went out on maternity leave, so we need to support that one as well. From a facilities component.
Oh, Elias, sorry, real yes. quick, I have a quick question. I know for the middle school principal, we have put forth a couple of board members to participate. We received some feedback or a question around the board approved, or a notion that the board had approved, like the whole committee. And as you know, I don't think we were involved with selecting beyond the two board members who was on the committee. So just wanted to kind of clarify for the record that that's a management function in terms of staffing that committee, but then just ask if you could just overview really quickly how, like, just generally about naming people, how the committee was comprised and what you were looking for with that creation.
It would be the same committee that was comprised for the intermediate school position, hiring position. It's the same composition. It has board members. But in this particular case, we actually enhanced it some more because it also has two teacher members as well. It has members of senior leadership. Some of us are not part of the first round, and some of them are part of the second round. So Ms. Beamer has all of that, and HR is the one that handles the recruitment of that particular component. To make sure that we are hitting metrics in terms of type of stakeholders available, but also we are looking at it from the lens from all other lenses as well, like diversity and things like that. So that's the job of that HR does for us in those particular instances.
Yeah, that seems appropriate. Thank you. I think I was confused. I was like, I didn't approve a list. I don't think any of the rest of us did. So. Just wanted to get it out there. Thank you.
And just a reminder to all that on all of these hirings that is the senior leadership hirings, they go through at least two rounds of hiring. So they're seeing two different committees with different members on them, and they have to get through that. And they have performance tasks along the way as well. It's a very rigorous process, which really helps shed light on what candidate is best position to achieve success in that job. Facilities updates. We were saying that there's a new OWL pantry that's been created in Building 20. It's been completed, and we're very excited to have that stocked for our families who are in need of fresh produce and goods. Electrical work, all necessary updates have been completed across all the campuses. The grade 6 to 12 restorative room that we've been referring to, the renovations have been finished. We are acquiring flex furniture now so that we can start using it by the beginning of quarter two, like we promised. And over 250 work tickets, ranging from moving classrooms to painting entire hallways to help open the school, have been completed. Ongoing projects include the updating, enhancing, and painting of all the bathrooms in buildings 20 for grades 6 to 12, the repair of the storm drains per the 2024 state inspection, and operations OCS mouse. They're you know, obviously with us taking up more space, redoing the fields and re-enhancing the intermediate school playground, we are taking space away from local habitats, which then puts us in a position where we have to come up with even more metrics to be able to make sure some of these critters aren't getting inside the building. Objectives for moving forward: bring pest control services in-house. prevent and control mouse infestations that could happen because of the lack of habitat, ensuring the safety of all students and staff, which you've seen has been a focus of ours, and maintaining cleanliness and hygiene in the buildings through very targeted, focused staff that we are acquiring. Food service, a donation of $200,000 worth of equipment to enhance our current cafeterias, as well as to utilize for Building 27 in the future, have been finalized thanks to Milford School District. This is also going to help mitigate some of our problems that we have with the speed of lunch being distributed, specifically in the middle school, because this is going to give us the capacity to start doubling up on the lines and become much more efficient in serving food. So we're pretty excited about that component coming out and being implemented right away to help have an even more efficient process there. Fundraising announcements. The gala is moving to February 1st, 2025 from 6 to 10 at the Blue Ball Barn, and the theme is going to be Great Gatsby. The planning committee is being assembled, and we look forward to the wonderful event that's going to come up for that. So mark your calendars for February 1st, 2025. The 76ers Greek Heritage Night fundraiser is scheduled for March 26th with aligns with Greek Independence Day that is on March 25th. Our winter soiree for the staff is scheduled for December 13th from 6 to 10. At the Blue Ball Barn, so mark your calendars for that as well. It's going to prove to be a fantastic event. From safety and security, discovery of written threats in the high school were assessed, with the collaboration of our team and Delaware State Police. One of the threats was discovered to be a copycat threat. The suspect was caught and handled in conjunction with the Delaware State Police, and we continue to utilize enhanced measures, protocols, at the high school level to make sure, like bag searches and things like that, along with in conjunction with the Delaware State Police, so we can continue to support creating a safe environment and maintaining a safe environment for our students as we continue to navigate this process. We're going to continue to work with them, and we'll continue to communicate out updates as they become available to us or any further action is necessary with respect to safety and security.
Sorry, super quick. So when I'm dropping my kids off, because now I'm doing the middle school drop off, so I see the kind of line with the bag checking, which is helpful. I hope we don't have to do this every day for the rest of time, but what's the plan? I mean, it's starting to get cold out. So what's the plan? Are we just telling people to dress warmer and be ready to wait? How are we thinking about that?
Well, we're going to be moving to more strategic bag checks that aren't necessarily at a specific time of day or a specific set of students. That'll be the next phase of it. But for the time being, in accordance with what we're at and the current temperature still being relatively stable, we're going to stay the course for a little bit longer.
Okay. Makes sense. Thanks.
Today we moved to randomized bag checks, so they actually didn't have a check today. But we'll continue to randomize. We sent out a communication to all of our high school families today about it.
Thank you, Ashley, for the update. Board approvals. We have a high school baseball team trip to the Cal Ripken Experience in Myrtle Beach from Friday, March 14th to return on the 18th of March. We have a high school field trip for physics to the iFly in King of Prussia on December 9th. We have a high school field trip for food studies to the Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia on November 20th. High school field trip for business to Harris Factory in Nottingham, Pennsylvania on December 11th. Middle school culinary arts going to Cupcake Sisters field trip on November 14th and 15th in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. And Pappas going to Washington, D.C. on November 7th to the Power of Innovation Summit to meet with Ed Policy Advocacy Groups, the new elected officials after the election, to sustain pathways for school choice and advocate for equitable funding solutions.
All right. Looking at the approvals for the out-of-state travel, I believe the high school trip to for physics to iFlight in KOP on December 9th was approved at the last meeting. as well as.
Sorry, we had a date change for that one. That's why I
oh, did
back
we?
in there. And I wasn't sure if
Okay.
we had the Reading Terminal Market already. I thought we might have.
We did have Reading Terminal. Yep, on November 20th, we did approve that one. The rest are good. Yep. All right. So I move that we approve the out-of-state travel as described, minus the one that we had approved last month.
I'll second.
Thanks, Bridget.
All right. Any discussion or questions? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. I would be happy to chaperone the Cal Ripken baseball trip if anyone needs anything.
I was going to offer the same thing, but you beat me to it.
That sounds really cool. All right, Elias, what else do we need to go over here?
That's it from my presentation.
Okay, thank you. So one second, I'm just pulling up. You know, Ioana, instead of going directly to the Greek program report, Jeff, I think we have some visitors here to present to the board on the Building 27. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I appreciate their patience through all that.
Jeff, are you able to present? Because the computer was not able to read the thumb drive.
So Dr. Ioana will just let the visitors go first, if that's okay, and then we'll cut you after. Thank you.
Second there, and then we'll share screen. Okay. It might be also better if you guys sat up there closer to the mic, too, if you're able to.
Yeah, pull up a chair. Finally have some friends at the table today.
Hi, good evening. My name is Rosalyn Cassie. I'm with Design Collaborative, one of the principals. With me is John Dobernicki, the other principal, and Dan Spain. We are all working together on this project. And what we have here is kind of the where we have settled after several meetings with the school and the building committee for the layout of Building 27. We are looking at Building 27 and 26. We wanted to make sure we had the context of how everything connected. So, about the middle of the screen is the entrance on the left side from the parking lot. To the left or to the top of the screen is Building 27, and then it wraps around. And as we developed the plan, we also wanted to project any future developments that you may want to see. And some ideas were floated for a future gym, a future connector on the opposite side to the right of the screen to connect the second floors of Building 26 and 27. So we have did a couple iterations. The starting point was Building 26. A lot of that flow worked really well, and it was desired to just bring that over and let's see where we land. And some of the differences, though, would be wanted space for like 5,000 square feet for virtual reality lab. We also wanted more of a multi-purpose room. So all of those spaces are accommodated now on the first floor. And then through a couple iterations, we had the initially the virtual reality took up the right wing at the top right corner, but we split it. So the top right is virtual reality. The one beneath it now is the multi-purpose. And then the top left is the other virtual reality. So that gives you some flex spaces to work with. We thought that the multi-purpose at that location, this new location to the bottom right of 27, allows you to have the bus entry, the students to unload from the buses along the street and come up the side into the multi-purpose. So that could also offer space for eating, lunches and such, but also morning and afternoon deliveries. The other piece of it was kind of the flow through the school, and car drop-offs would remain at building 26. We will have 27, an entrance at the existing area, which is where we have the admin and reception area. So on this plan, if you go into the existing entrance, kind of where the arrow is and up is an admin area. Also, there will be a nurse's station in within that administration area. And then as you go up, you'll have some of the larger classrooms and the virtual reality room right there. So so that's pretty much the first floor. And we discussed a lot the mix of large and small classrooms, toilet rooms. The lower grades would be on the first floor. So we do have toilet rooms that would be shared by two classrooms to make it convenient for the lower grades. On the upstairs, we have, again, additional classrooms and offices dispersed throughout. And I forget the total count. Do you remember, Dan? Classrooms?
That's 29 total. And that gymnasium is not part of this project. That's only being shown as a future placeholder.
Yes, as well as the bridge on the second floor. That would be a future. But we want to make sure that if those are desired, any thing that's built now would not prevent it in the future.
I think that the current plan shows 10 classrooms on the first floor and 19 on the upper floor of just 27.
There's also an elevator that will be added in the lobby of the front lobby of 26, which will go up to a connector to the existing. Well, the existing connector will have to be reworked some, but the elevator will land there and then provide access to the second floor of 26 and 27.
26 and 27 are two different floor elevations, so a little bit tricky to get that to work out with elevator and ramps, but we think we can do it.
Happy to entertain any questions.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you. This looks like actually a beautiful design. I'm sure that it seems like the building would be lovely. And when we received this last week, I'll be honest, I opened it, I looked at it, and I was a little confused as to exactly what everything was. So the voiceover is helpful. You mentioned iterations, and I guess this is more for Jeff or Elias. Who at the school has been working on this? Because I think we have talked about at a high level using 27 for a number of things. We've talked about it for immersion. We've talked about it for overflow. We've talked about a VR lab. I don't think we've had any firm decisions on that. And so I asked at the beginning of the meeting about a committee, and it sounded like we were going to create one, but now it sort of seems like we've done a lot of the initial decision making or ideating, at least to inform this in some maybe smaller groups. So can you maybe start with who's, you know, who's been involved so far and what that process has been.
I can speak for that. So there was an initial.
Sorry, my internet is doing something weird.
There was an initial committee that was utilized for the architectural RFP process. And so it was a majority of that committee that had been meeting periodically with Roz and John and the team and doing walkthroughs of the building. So that they could assess what was already there, what was usable, and do as much mirroring to.
Who is on that? Is anyone from the board on that committee?
Yeah, Joel and Chris and Turner were on that committee.
Okay. Okay, keep going. Thanks.
Sure. With regards to. Speaking about what the building is for, the conversation was surrounded a K-5 age group. So outside of that, there's nothing from this layout that would basically none of those other decisions have been made. And with regards to the VR spaces, a majority of that is just flexible as a multi-purpose room because there's not very much infrastructure required for a virtual reality space. So the labeled VR center, it really becomes a multi-purpose room that could be used for a multitude of things.
Okay. I guess I'm surprised we have board meetings where we have committee updates and we haven't heard a report from that group. So, let me just pause and let my fellow board members ask questions. I'm frankly absorbing this.
Yeah, Ken here. It definitely looks a lot further than I would have expected it to be without, you know, really having any discussion up to this point. Good work again, architects. You guys did a fabulous job. Nothing on you guys. This is all about just really internal communication and really setting down the priorities to make sure that we're all on the same page and engaged with the project. And like Aaron, I looked over the blueprints and I was wondering how we got this far along. Again, it's probably fabulous and it could very well be exactly what we want to do. It's more of a, how did we get to here without knowing we got here? So, again, it could entirely be my fault, but I'm just stepping back from it and trying to figure out if we've got a solid business plan for exactly what we're going to do with all this space.
So I just want to jump in myself since I'm named as listed on that committee. I can say that in the beginning, preliminary meetings on when we were selecting the contractors that were going to do the work, I was a part of that. And then I was also a part of an email thread that had the initial walkthrough. And then I didn't receive any other correspondence from there. So these are new plans to me as well. Again, I was in the original meeting with the selection process. And there was one walkthrough email that I did see that I was unable to make it to. But anything from there, I was not aware of.
That's helpful. Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, and you know, if there's a mass desire on the part of the board to vote and approve this, let me know if people want to make motions and second and vote. But I think we need to take a step back and huddle and get clear on a few things. One, is our priority to totally redo this building, or is it, you know, some combination of something here and upgrading or fixing, frankly, some of the issues in other buildings that impact many of our students and teachers on a day-to-day basis. Two, if the priority is to do something here, to Ken's point, to what end, right? Like, what is our plan? What is the vision for 27? And make sure that we have a really good agreed upon idea. Obviously, details will change, but before we tear something down or start really making changes, we should be sure that we all understand what's happening, we agree what's happening, and it's documented. That we have like a, not a architecture plan, but a use plan and sort of validation of that. So I would suggest maybe to the management team, and Jeff and Elias, if you guys want to catch up offline, let us know. I think the board needs more information and detail on how y'all are thinking about the plan for this building and what it would be used for and why, and how that stacks up against some of our other priorities. And what, and again, like to Ken's point, what the business side of it is, what's the ROI, how are we thinking of that piece? Curious if other board members have additional thoughts.
Aaron, I'd like to just chime in. I'll echo what Kristen mentioned. I was part of the architectural RFP committee and did participate in some of the walkthroughs as we were going through the building. I know that there was a meeting at the end of August or towards the end of August, I believe, where I think some of these plans were going to be discussed. Unfortunately, I was out of town and was not able to participate at that meeting. Do we have any minutes or a recording of that meeting if it was handled virtually?
We do have a recording of that meeting. Okay. I don't believe that was distributed.
Okay.
So we do have a recording of that meeting that we can distribute and flow through. Much of the things that we discussed there are similar to what was discussed in previous strategic planning meetings and other walkthroughs of the building. So, yeah, happy to distribute that out.
Yeah, and I guess in addition to, so it's great that there's a recording of that meeting. I think we would benefit from, whether it's a presentation or a document or, you know, something, sorry, making clear in writing how we're thinking about using 27. And again, kind of touching on some of the priorities and offsets. So that probably is the right next step. I don't know that we're in a position to vote or approve on this tonight. But again, appreciate the work from DCI. It looks great. I think we just need to make sure that we are aligned internally a little bit further before we can take action.
Okay.
Understood.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Let us know if there's any information that would help in your evaluation or other drawings or anything we can do to help.
Thank would help you. If we
appreciate
added
it.
Some color like we had on some of the earlier plans and added some more notes and defined the, you know, the latest concept a little better.
Okay.
So we can do that. All right.
Okay.
And, thank you very much.
And again, just thank you very much for putting all this together, and we'll look forward to speaking with you more.
That's we do as well. Thank you. Good.
Thank you. All right, Jeff, do you want to stop sharing this piece and then let's see. Sorry, I'm just trying to find the agenda and figure out where we were.
I think we're going to do a Greek program update. Next.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go to Dr. Lukaku and then Jeff will come back to you after that.
All right. Kalispera. It's almost Kalinichta. It's 7:30. So I have many items for the Greek program this month, but I will try to be short. So the first one is about the open house tomorrow. So as Ilya said, we have a different plan for this year. The whole school has a different plan. So for the Greek department, we're going to be in all buildings, but we will have like a base station, and our base station will be in the intermediate school. We have a nice place there. We call it the Greek neighborhood. It's this area is surrounded by Greek classrooms. It's the Greek wing over there. So we're going to have many teachers from Immersion and FLES. And the idea is not to have presentations, but to have activities with students our students, returning and prospective students, activities on math in Greek and ELA and Greek language. So we'll have representations from all our groups, all our programs, and many teachers there. The idea is to have it, to make it welcoming, to make it interactive, fun, and at the same time showcasing what we do in the Greek program. But as I said, we will have teachers in all buildings doing smaller activities, smaller projects in every building. The second that I would like to inform the board about is an initiative that the Greek department started just 2 weeks ago. We try to make it really official because the goal is very important, although the initiative looks small. So the initiative is called I Speak in Greek. We want to boost the proficiency of all our students, immersion flex K-12. And the best way to boost proficiency in a foreign language is when students start speaking the language. So we want to have them and encourage them to speak more in Greek in their Greek language classroom, which is math in Greek, and in general in the hallways with all Greek speaking staff, with everybody. And this is not only because we want to improve our proficiency in the Greek language, but mainly it's because research shows that when we study a second language, this second language, and we are, you know, serious in our study, the second language improves also our first language. Mm-hmm. So by improving the Greek for us, the second language, we will anticipate to see also improvement in our scores in Greek, in English. So it's something that we want to support. Of course, we want to support English and Greek at the same time. So keep in mind, I speak in Greek. Everybody has students, almost everybody. Many of you have students in the school. Encourage them to speak in Greek in the classroom, to use any Greek they know to put it in use. My next item is that we had our first, so I'm going to the committees. We had our first meeting of the Greek program committee. It was the first Wednesday of the month. It was nice to see some new families who haven't attended the meeting before, I mean, last year or the year before. So we had a nice conversation. It was mainly a discussion, and I had the opportunity to answer to some questions about the program, FLES and Immersion. My next one is that this year we can restart the Kangaroo Math Contest. If you have older kids in the school, you have heard the program. The Kangaroo Math Contest is an international contest in math. And there is a representation in Greek, in Greece. So there is also the Kangaroo in Greek. We used to have the contest. After COVID, we stopped it for practical reasons. And this year we're going to restart it. And it's going to be for the intermediate school, 3 to 5. So we started also a club, an after school club, especially for preparation for the Math Kangaroo contest. Since I'm talking about a contest now and exams, I would like you to let you know that this year we are going to, it's going to be the first year that we will take a state test for the Greek language, for Greek language. So it is a test that DOE uses for Spanish and Chinese. And they're going to create not all of the test, but some parts of the test for the Greek language as well. And we will have for the first time our 6th and 7th grade immersion students take the test at the end of February. So for us, it's a lot, but it's our first year, our pilot year. We're excited to take in the test, but also to see how the test looks like, how our students are going to perform, and all this stuff. It's the first year. Next is a collaboration that we started with DOE. We just agreed on that last week, less than a week. The Foreign Language Department in DOE started a pilot program last year to support the collaboration of the two partners in immersion programs. So this pilot was started last year, and this year we were accepted as a pilot school, and we will have the first meeting on October 25th. We are going to use three of our teams, of our immersion teams, so the two partners of each team. We will have a total of six teachers from lower and intermediate school participating in this program. And it's going to be five meetings with the, let's say, head, is not her official title, but she's a DLI specialist, but the head of the immersion programs in Delaware. She will visiting Odyssey five times throughout the year, supporting our teachers who will pilot the program. And my last one is that we relaunched one more collaboration that we didn't have the time actually last year to do it, to have it, because of the YAS and everything that we did last year. So this year we will start again collaborating with the American College of Athens, the Pierce College. We had a great collaboration for many years, and we are very ambitious for this year. They have also, they started last year in elementary, so now they are also K-12 as we are. And we started making plans. Stay tuned, because next, in our next board meeting, I will have more details about the projects. They are very ambitious, so hopefully they will work out and we will have some great news for our students. And that's all from me.
Ioana, any what time is tomorrow's open house?
The open house is 5 to 7.
5 to 7 in the afternoon.
Sorry. Yes.
I'm teaching that time. I'm finished teaching, sorry. Next time.
Next time.
Yeah. Or let me see.
We have plenty of events.
I may stop by even at the end. Okay, because my class finishes at 5.
All right.
All right, that's all. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Lots of exciting things going on. Any questions for Dr. Ioana? Okay, thanks so much, Jeff. I think it is over to you.
Sure. We're going to be looking at the September 30th monthly web report. September 30th represents 3 months or 25% of the fiscal year. As previously noted, preliminary budgeted revenues are $58 million. Revenues collected to date are $30.2 million or 52% of the budget. Revenues received during September. We'll touch on a little bit in a moment. On the expenditure side, the preliminary budgeted expenditures are $51.3 million with 12.8 expenses to date, representing 25% of the budget. Local funding preloads from several districts were received during September. The preloads represent 35% of the payables owed from the district to each charter school. The remaining districts are expected to roll in the next month, followed by the final distribution after the completion of the unit count process. Interest income funds were received in the local district transfers this month, as a lot of the previous 2 months. As mentioned, the September 30th unit count for OCS finalized at 2,286 students. An in-depth breakdown will be completed during October, as well as the forward-looking cash projection once the final information from the September 30th count has been provided. Early analysis suggests state funding was higher per pupil than projected and local funding was lower than projected. Debt service payments are now being completed on a monthly basis rather than annual, which has been the case since the refinance. There was an SCG TURF invoice for $615,000 that was processed in September. The transfer from the capital fund is requested during October, so there's going to be a crossover of months there as occurred in July and August. To date, $290,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds at the preliminary budgeted amount of $1.28 million. Another item of note, which I think was touched on earlier, Melissa Tracy applied and received funding from the Harry Kay Foundation to support with the revamped food pantry. And so that's being completed as we speak. That appears to be all I have.
Any questions for Jeff? Do we have a motion? We have to approve the monthly report.
I move we approve. Monthly report is presented.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, passes. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Keep getting clicking off of the agenda. All right, so committee reports. Any reports out from Greek program, fundraising, safety and security, any committees that, have reports tonight?
I have a little bit update on the food pantry. As Elias mentioned earlier, space was found in Building 20, and the facilities did all the necessary updates. If I understood it correctly, and I think I did, the food pantry was incorporated in our food studies pathway. So the students are taking finally over. I guess they have a club that is called the Philotimo Club, and they're taking over this initiative. Melissa Tracy has, she got a grant or something for a refrigerator and I think a freezer as well. And she has pursued some collaborations with the food bank. And I have more details here, but it's a tiny little screenshot that I cannot read very well. Okay, we are anticipating that it's going to open in 2 to 3 weeks. And initially, it's going to be 8 to 9 in the morning, and then at the end of the day again. And as we establish it better, it may have additional hours. For now, they are asking the community for donations so they can equip the pantry so they can open as soon as possible. That's all.
Thank you, Eva. It's exciting that we're able to continue that and expand it.
Definitely. Yes.
Any other committee reports? Okay, anything for good of the school? All right, we do have an executive session tonight. So let's, can I get a motion to head into executive, and we'll, Joel, can you do the breakout room?
I shall do my best.
Thank you. All right, can you have a motion to head into executive?
Don't forget to stop recording.
Okay, Bridget motioned. Do we have a second?
Do you need any help?
Hang on a sec.
Are you seconding,
I'll second. Yep.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we'll see you in executive. Thanks.
All right, I'm going to start this breakout room.
Okay. There are no actions coming out of executive session at this time. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Any second? All in favor?
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night. We adjourn at 8:15. Good night.
Thanks.
Bye. Good one.
Bye.